the Citizen's Guide to the Supernormal.
And now for this week in small penis news.
It's not so much small penis news as just penis news at
Should
this point.
Should we just change the fucking headline to the fucking... And now in this week, Jordan's going to talk about dicks for a little bit.
Do you think people are uncomfortable with our dick news? Whatever, you know what?
I think this is a little something for everybody. And some people might appreciate the goings-on of people's phalli.
Or it's a lot of something for everybody.
Gangrenous phalli.
All right. Well, in this week in penis news, a Utah man hammered an ice pick through his roommate's penis. Those of you.
Go on.
Official spit take.
I think the fact that I just made Sarge literally spit his drink all over his computer gives me the win.
I can't stop laughing.
Okay.
So much for the episode. Sarge's computer's broken.
So the headline is...
so many questions.
Well, wait. Let's get through first. The headline, Utah man hammered ice pick through roommate's penis... the byline, the victim told police he was given a choice of being killed in the desert or having a nail driven into his penis.
Where did he find his roommate?
I'm kind of curious, like, could I ask for a third choice? But sure, let's go into this. So in Salt Lake City, Utah, a man has been charged with sexual assault and kidnapping when authorities say he hammered a tool resembling an ice pick through another man's penis during an argument.
That's some tool-on-tool contact right there.
My question is what is your dick doing out during an argument?
Yeah, why? This is part of my questioning.
Like, who willingly puts their dick on a table and is like, yeah, nail that shit to the table, please?
Was the third option not run the fuck away screaming?
Must not have been. I mean, he picked literally, I think, the I don't know. I mean, death in the desert kind of seems better to
do
me
we
than
have a, do
the
we
have
a picture of this
penis.
Guy?
No, I hope not.
I have a picture of the assaulter. You want a picture
yes,
of the
Yes, I want to know. I want to see what the assailant looks like because
kind
I need
of.
To understand why he scared this man into giving up his
it
penis.
Kind of resembles Maynard a little bit.
So he's wearing a mask and a Guns N' Roses t-shirt?
That doesn't look like me at all. His hair is way too short.
That is, that looks like Maynard's methed up uncle.
Kinda I haven't does, met his yeah. methed up uncle yet.
Uncle Roy.
So anyway, the 45-year-old Jason Demon. Jason Demon. Demon? Jason D-E-E Mon is scheduled to make his court appearance on Wednesday.
I'm sorry, his last name is Demon?
No, his middle name is D. His last name is Mon. Maybe he's Demon?
No, what a waste.
It's all...
Moggin.
All makes sense.
Court documents show that Mon is accused of putting a gun to the victim's head. This is why the third option was not available. He was accused of putting a gun to the victim's head, handcuffing him to a chair, and...
it was the handcuffs that fucking... Okay.
Yeah, because the gun to the head was not... Was
well,
not even...
I mean, the other thing is, you know, we got to handcuff him to hold him steady.
See, at this point, doesn't the penis become slippery when the guy wets himself because he's got a gun to his head?
I'm always slippery when wet.
Got it.
Because right. I'm a big Bon Jovi fan.
So he told the police he was given a choice of being killed in the desert, having a nail driven into his penis... he says he went to the hospital the next day for treatment because that
the
was
next
when
day?
That was when Mon took the handcuffs off. So
okay.
He was handcuffed to a, I assume a chair, right? This is what it says. He was handcuffed.
I wonder if when he peed that first time, it looked like Kylo Ren's lightsaber. Especially because his pee's red too.
Well, blood, yeah, right. So this guy, do you think he was like he nailed it to the chair? Because he's handcuffed to a chair, so it's now nailed to the chair for an evening.
You know it's a rough night when even your dick gets hammered.
Yeah, the charging document describes the case as domestic violence and says the men lived together, but doesn't explain their exact relationship.
You know what, frankly, I don't think they were gay.
Well, domestic violence doesn't actually mean that you're living together or that you're in a relationship.
No, I'm just saying, when you said they don't know what the relationship was, just...
Maybe
I find
maybe
it hard to believe that a gay man is going to be like, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to drive this through your penis. I feel like that's like a straight white guy thing.
Maybe, yeah. I found a better one but I think we'll save it for our next episode because it's kind of going to make our lady listeners cringe a little bit.
It's not flying meat again, is it?
Negative.
Okay.
Make them cringe more than some of the things I've already said in this show?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'll show you the headline and you guys can...
Hold on. You know what I'll do is I'll desensitize them to disgusting things. Ready? Moist.
Hey, no more whispering.
Hey, what did moist do to you? That was a thing I did today.
I saw that on the Twitter.
That's uncomfortable, right?
I think we need to cover this right fucking now.
You sure?
Yes.
We're going to do two penis news today?
All right. I can't read it from here, but...
It's a good one. It's a doozy, man.
It's a genitalia news, I guess.
It's something that's never happened to any of us.
All right. So in bonus penis news today...
Bonus wings!
Woman sues ex-boyfriend after his abnormally long penis stretched her vagina.
That son of a bee.
Good for him.
I don't know if I'm going to... Cylindial mangina?
This is getting so much better. I'm so glad I put down my drink.
Cylindal.
Is this the woman's name or the
man's name? Yeah. Her last name is Mangana? Anyway, she's 29, claims she will have to fork out $8,000 for reconstructive surgery after being intimate with Mugove Karima. Ladies, if you come across a guy named Mugove,
run.
Just move on.
Run.
It's not worth the challenge.
Swipe whichever way you swipe to not talk to that person.
So she's suing her ex-boyfriend after his abnormally long penis overstretched her vagina.
How long were they fucking for? Did he just leave it in there when he went to work? I don't understand.
I mean...
You get on the train, it's still in there.
He's going to drape it over some telephone wires so people don't drive over it.
Sir, could you remove your arm from the door? We're trying to close them.
I mean, there's really no losers in this story.
She wants Mugove to pay a whopping 150,000 rand, which really only amounts to 8,000 pounds, maybe. And is taking him to court. I don't know. Maybe
Dude,
they're
pay
from
the lady for the notoriety. Your porn career will easily pay you back.
They're from Zimbabwe. She tells the Zimbabwe Mail that her private parts were tight before she met her ex in 2016, and she said she fell in love with him even though he was allegedly married at the time. She ended the relationship after Karima is alleged to have stretched her vagina.
So here's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know why she's complaining about this. It easily would have made childbirth easier if that was her choice to have children.
Yeah, I mean, she's 29.
The
Maybe
kid
she
could have just
him,
fucking
but...
walked out.
Done
the Willy Wonka thing where he trips and drops a cane and then somersaults and then out comes your child.
So earlier this year, the same... paper had run an article about a man who claims to have the largest penis in the world. It says that it's ruining his acting career.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's only so many ways you can explain his third
apparently
leg.
Flaccid. He's 13 and a half inches,
so that means it's never gonna get super hard.
He said in June, "It sucks. It relegates me into doing smaller parts."
Irony, folks.
That's the name of my sex tape.
Smaller parts.
He says, maybe in the UK or Germany it might help my acting career, but here in Hollywood it's a negative.
Why? Okay. I talked to someone who'll go nameless. She was explaining to myself, I don't know why I said that. She was explaining to me and a group of friends that hard penises have it's more difficult to get them to stay all the way hard when they're that long. Because there's only so much blood in the human body. And so there's no, like, there's just not enough blood to make that thing stay all the time.
You suppose, like, Viagra would help with that situation?
No, because there's still not enough volume of blood in your body to fill up like a 15-inch balloon.
So here's what you do, right? You cut your leg off at the knee.
That's what I'm saying. And then dump all the blood from the leg in your body.
Right, yeah. I mean, that gives your body now 6 pints of blood, right?
This is a fucking flawless idea. I don't know why nobody thought of this before.
I mean...
Probably because most people don't need it.
Well, I mean, I can speak from experience. I certainly don't.
Need what? To cut your leg off?
Yeah, no, I got plenty.
If the option
I probably
was,
got extra, to be honest.
If the option was erectile dysfunction or cutting my leg off at the knee, I'm going to be honest, guys. I'm cutting my leg off.
Absolutely.
Give me a hacksaw and a tourniquet, and I'll be all right.
I can fucking roll myself to sex.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll crawl.
Get a fake leg, right?
Right. All right. So, here I am talking like I'm having sex. So,
you're all married. Right.
That's... So, welcome back to the Citizen's Guide to the Supernormal. Sorry for the extended intro. This is a podcast rough night. This is a podcast dedicated to the weird, unexplained, and all things sticky, stupid, and uncomfortable, like showering with the corpse of John Wayne Gacy. My name is Saj. With me is Maynard, and joining us tonight is our dedicated producer, Jordan. Hey, we're all on Twitter, and I'm sure at this point you've probably seen me say terrible things to a troll. I'm at Bastard Prophet. Maynard is at Maynard Rules, and he is also picking on Russian trolls all day.
Yeah, they picked on me first.
That's true. They did start the fight. Jordan is at CG Super Jordan. He mostly tweets about sandwiches. You can follow the show at
C_food tweets.
You got to tweet about it because you don't eat it anymore.
Sometimes when I'm just feeling lonely, I'm like, oh, man, I want pie. And then I'll tweet a gif of someone eating pie. And I'm like, all right, well, now other people want pie. And I feel
you
like
you might have just started a flame war on Twitter because you said gif.
Yeah, what's a gif?
And clearly it's pronounced gif.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't care either. Honestly, choose your moms, choose gif. That's how I'm going to
say it. Yeah, I don't give a fuck either.
All right, so you can follow the show at C_G_supernormal. If you would like to contact the show and tell us how fucking cool we are, send us gift cards or nudes, totally up to you. Can't promise we won't share your nudes. You can email us at citizensguidepodcast@gmail.com. And we're hosted by Brandon Sports, who's blowing up big things in the podcast industry right now. Just added a show with Harry Mays, and he is fucking prolific if you're from Philadelphia. They're at thebrandedsports.com, where you can now get exclusive Citizen's Guide t-shirts. They're only $20, and the profits go to support the show, so please buy some. If not to support us, then to just look fucking fashionable, honestly. You can also follow Branded Sports on Twitter at Branded_sports. They have some amazing talent on that site, and frankly, we're honored to be part of that team. Finally, if you like this episode, please give us a review on iTunes so that other people won't be afraid to listen to us. And if you really like the show, you can support us at patreon.com/SargeTheDestroyer, and we will dance like monkeys for you, depending on how much you give us.
Also, read the blog, people. If you just...
Please
Sarge
read
works
the blog.
Very
Ooh.
Hard on the blog every week.
I am a creative writing minor now, so please read that blog.
It's, I mean, it's literally 10 minutes before the episode airs, but he does work hard for that 10 minutes.
And a lot of the things that go in the blog are relevant to the show at some point or another, so it's important. Not important, I guess. That would be kind of a dick thing to say. But it to me, I think it's relevant, and it's a nice little add-on to the show. So if you get a minute, just check out the blog. That's only available at brandedsports.com. Finally, we got to thank our patrons. You know who you are. Michael, Crockett, Todd, Kevin, Kimberly, Shannon, Allison, and the other Michael. Your subscriptions help us to invest in a show because, believe it or not, we're still not taking salaries. The ship has not come in. We haven't been picked up by some wealthy benefactor from Dickensian
Zimbabwe,
England.
So I just got to be honest. I preferred the way that you gave the names out in episode 6.
Well, I guess I'll just have to go back and re-listen to the episode and pump it out.
Oh, let's name your sex tape.
That's the most accurately named sex tape I think we've done so far. Okay, now that that's out of the way, let's get to the point. Buckle up, gang. Saj has a story. The year was 2009. America inaugurates Barack Obama as its 44th president. He is also the first Hawaiian president? That doesn't sound right. Anyway, Parks and Recreation debuts, and no one stops talking about it ever. North Korea, a land whose tireless commitment to nuclear safety is only matched by its world-renowned dedication to human rights, according to unofficial diplomat and Eskimo brother to Dave Navarro, Dennis Rodman, detonates a nuclear weapon underground because fuck worms, apparently. And in October of that year, Bobby, Sherilyn, and Madison go missing. This is the Jameson family. The circumstances around their disappearance has never been discovered, but in 4 years, their decomposing bodies were found just 3 miles from their car. Jordan, take it from here.
I think it's important to note the full names, just because I'm gonna do this.
These are definitely three names you'll find in any strip club in Tennessee.
And they're all probably related in the same strip club. You had Bobby Dale, Sherilyn Leanne, and setting their daughter up for terrible future endeavors had she lived past six, Madison Stormy Star Jameson.
Madison Stormy Star?
Yeah, Madison spelled with a Y.
You know, it's not easy to see stars when it's stormy out.
Maybe it was a sign of a storm? I don't know.
Okay.
All right. So, October 8th, 2009, we're going to start off. The Jameson family from Eufaula, Oklahoma, were seen for the last time. Family consisted of Bobby, the 44-year-old father, 40-year-old Sherilyn, and the daughter, 6-year-old Madison. The day of their disappearance, the last person who saw them alive, creepily enough, was a man in the mountains. He lived in the Red Oak Mountains.
Just a mountain man?
Yeah, no, he just was a guy who lived in the
mountains. What did he live in? Did he have like a house up there? Was he in a tent?
You know, I didn't ask, but...
He had a wax shack up there?
I didn't ask, but I would assume just based off of the mountains that it was a guy living in a deer blind. Just
being fucking weird.
Just being, yeah, just...
Talking to birds?
Married to a bear, maybe? I don't know.
Tying knots all day?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, right? Or just eating game. Just picking his teeth with a bone. You know, like, just some strange guy, you know? And then, he's not a suspect in this crime at all, which I think is funny.
I'm concerned as to why he's not a suspect.
Never once has this one singular man living in the woods, in the mountains, ever been called a suspect, but he was the last man who saw them alive.
I'm interested to know how they found him. active person who could run away and not three dead bodies.
And he states specifically, and I quote, he saw them and no one else looking at a 40-acre plot of land that they intended to purchase and live on. Now, they wanted to move their existing storage container on their current plot of land to this 40-acre plot, which, doesn't...
So it's like that show Gold Rush where they fucking live in Connexes?
Or like tiny houses or something, I don't know. Or maybe just strange people who live in storage containers. I don't know if that's a show. DIY seems to have quite a few of those weird shows. Anyway.
I think they just get locked in at Storage Wars.
Yeah, right.
And then you bid on a family of three?
Yeah, like, oh, well, I thought that was an old dishwasher. That was Billy.
If you bid on a family of three and win, do you get to claim them as dependents?
I think so, because you're responsible for feeding them.
Instant tax write-off.
Yahtzee.
6 weeks later. Oh, shit, did you feed the fit?
Oh, that's going to be smelly.
Guys, all right. Well, anyway, 8 days later. The first major discovery of the case takes place. Hunters in the woods. Hunters, this is a reoccurring theme here. Just remember that. Hunters in the woods happened across the Jameson family's pickup truck.
You don't come here for the hunting, do you, buddy?
Abandoned and locked on the side of the road. Inside the truck was the dog, malnourished and near death. Their coats, Bobby's wallet, Sherilyn's purse, a cell phone, a pill bottle not belonging to anyone in the family, a GPS, $32,000 in cash, and a knapsack. in an 11-page hate-filled letter from Sherilyn to Bobby.
We don't have the text of that letter, do we?
I've got bits and pieces of the text of that letter.
I kind of just want to know what a woman named Sherilyn thinks of a guy named Bobby Dean.
No, Bobby Dale.
Bobby Dale, pardon.
This will be important later on. Remember this letter. There was also no sign of the family anywhere to be seen. And according to the sheriff, no signs of a struggle or foul play.
Like playing with a rooster?
Right, yeah. Or a cock, if you will.
Some kind of goose.
I don't think a rooster's a fowl, is it?
I think all birds are fowls, aren't they?
Are they? Yeah.
I don't know.
It would seem like this family has run afoul of the law. And then Maynard's going to edit in the scream from CSI Miami later.
The Latimer County Sheriff's Office was called. They originally had believed the family to be lost. However, after a quick look at the GPS, they found the family hadn't spent much time there at all. The GPS coordinates led the sheriff's deputies on to a trail where they discovered footprints following the footprints up to a hill as the last known place the family would have taken a picture of 6-year-old Madison. And it was in front of a large rock, confirmed after looking on the cell phone left behind.
Okay, so they found a cell phone left behind on the large rock of them taking a picture of Madison?
No, the cell phone left behind in the car. So they found the cell phone in the truck and confirmed that that place was the last place that...
So they walked all the way up there, got a picture taken at this rocky outcropping, walked back to the truck, dumped their phones, and then disappeared?
No. Glad you bring that up. This was a previous stop before they had...
Oh, okay. So, I got confused for a second. Yeah, I was like, this is all on the same day? These are busy fucking people.
The last stop... Well, no, this was all on the same day, but yeah, the last stop was at this point on the road. They actually spent 15 to 20 minutes there for some reason. Hiked up to this big rock, took a picture of 6-year-old Madison, with the last picture that we know of her being taken, and then they walked back to the car and moseyed on down the road. Also found to be missing, after speaking with family, was a handgun registered to Sherilyn, which she always kept in the truck at all times. Former Latimer County Sheriff Israel Beauchamp, or Beauchamp, stated, "I think they were forced to stop and got out of the truck with someone they recognized. I think they either left willingly or by force," to which I replied, "Thank you, Sherlock Holmes."
Yeah, right. They either did it on purpose or by accident. And it's like, well, I mean, no fucking shit, dickhead. How many other ways are there? Were they abducted by fucking aliens?
That might be Maynard's theory later
Maybe.
On for the disappearance.
Were there any Yetis in...
I'm not sure about the Yeti presence in the woods of Oklahoma, but...
Yeah, I don't know much about Oklahoma.
I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, fuck Yetis. It's just how I feel.
I think that's a bit aggressive. But...
Just, I don't think they exist. I don't think they're real. Anyway... October 17th, 2009, a large-scale search party of over 300 people, police and citizens, was formed using drones, cadaver dogs, tracker dogs, and even some people on horseback. There
were drones in 2009?
Apparently.
There were.
What a time to be alive.
They spread out and searched the area from the truck. The Latimer County Sheriff's Office suspected foul play was involved, but couldn't prove anything. And after 8 months...
There's those fucking ducks again.
After 8 months, the leads went cold and the search was called off. It's almost as if the family had literally walked off the face of the earth.
I mean, they kind of did when you think about it, because they just kind of wandered out into the woods and no one could find them.
So, that was...
Maybe they went to the, what's that thing from fucking...
When you think of it, get back to us.
That show on Netflix. The Upside Down.
The Upside Down.
They went to the Upside Down.
So November 16th, 2013 is the next event on our timeline. Over four years had passed at this point. Hunters, again with the hunters, scouting out deer hunting locations, came across the partial skeletal remains.
You sure those hunters went out there fucking bears?
I mean.
You know the joke.
I do know the joke.
There's always a little truth to some humor. You know what I mean?
So, they came across the partial skeletal remains. They found them lying face down and side by side. It was later determined in July of 2014 by forensic testing to be the remains of two adults and a child, positively identified as the Jamesons. The cause of death could not be ascertained due to decomposition and missing bones, believed to be carried away by animals. The remains were found only 2.7 miles from the last known location of the Jamesons' truck. The search of the area uncovered each victim's skull. In the case of the adults, teeth, arm, and leg bones were found. And the report notes that carnivores and rodent damage to the bones were apparent. Shoes apparently belonging to all three were also recovered. A dried flower was found with Madison's effects, and with Bobby's effects, a fragment of a flexible material with a cloth material on one side was found. This all according to Joshua Lanter, the Oklahoma State Medical Examiner, in his report. Due to the absence of skin, soft tissue, internal organs, and the remaining skeleton, perimortem trauma and or natural disease cannot be excluded.
But at least a condition of the bones would exclude some damage. Obviously, they weren't shot in the head if their skulls were intact.
Yeah, well, they don't say anything about that, but obviously if there was, I think, bullet wounds to the skulls.
Yeah, it would be mentioned if there was any
kind of mentioned in the
severe trauma to the skull.
Severe trauma to the head, yeah.
Exactly. All right, so why don't we go to break, and then we'll come back, and we'll start talking about theories.
Famous Monsters. Celebrating horror, sci-fi, and fantasy genres since 1958. Their annual magazine is available now, along with new apparel released every month. Follow them on social media at Famous Monsters, and check out their entire catalog at CaptainCo.com.
There was a break there for about a second where I had to fart, but I didn't want to do it on my microphone.
I was remembering an exchange I had with some Russian trolls on Twitter. That was fun.
That was adorable.
She never answered.
She never answered the question, which means Yetis are real. Hotel.
Yeah, no, she...
I officially changed my stance on Yetis.
Yeah, she wouldn't, you know, when she said all music was evil, ooh, and I pointed out that they play music in church, she had nothing for that, and she deleted all her tweets, and I never heard from her again.
Strange how that happens.
She, in quotes.
Well, right. So
you're not
right.
going to get the Christmas card this year, I take
it. I'm not going to get the Christmas card from...
Do trolls send Christmas cards? Is there like a nice little troll family on the Christmas card?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Is there a post office under the bridge?
I also never got an answer to if she ate billy goats or not. So,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So many unanswered questions about trolls. Maybe that'll be the next episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, as you heard in the previous segment, you got a little bit of background, a little small timeline, some penis news, and here we are.
There was a lot of penis news. We talked about dicks for quite a while.
There was a large penis news there, yeah.
We really had to unwrap the whole thing.
Definitely, yeah.
Lots to unpack there.
Stretched that episode.
Definitely stretched the episode. I might sue you guys later for it.
All right. Interesting to note, notes that I have from the previous segment, and before we get into some of the theories about the disappearance, neither Bobby nor Sherilyn were working at the time of their disappearance. Bobby had been in a car accident and was suffering from debilitating back pain. Sherilyn suffered from bipolar disorder and was known to frequently stop taking her medications. Both were receiving disability checks at the time of their disappearance.
So you're saying Bobby didn't have any mental illness, right? He was just suffering from back pain?
You'll find out later that they were both actually suffering from depression. But I don't know if he ever took anything for depression or if it was like a clinical diagnosis or someone just saying, oh, no, they were both dealing with depression.
He just listened to a lot of fucking Nick Drake songs.
Is that the same as Drake?
No, Nick Drake is the guy who wrote Pink Moon, and Drake is the guy from all those fucking Sprite commercials.
Oh, yeah, I hate Sprite. They're not a sponsor,
not the ones with LeBron James. I'm talking about the one where he fucking takes a sip of the fucking Sprite and his head opens up for some reason.
Yeah, and he raps and he's... Yeah.
Continue.
I'm sorry, I just don't know who Drake is.
Watch a Toronto Raptors game, you'll see him.
He's a guy from fucking Degrassi Junior
basketball?
High who is in the wheelchair.
No, he just sits in the front row. And he's in a lot of memes.
So he's a bench warmer? I'm confused. Is he an athlete or not?
No, he's a rapper.
Not all black people are athletes.
Is he a good rapper?
That's there are a lot of people.
As good as rap
they,
gets, I think he's up there. He's high up there.
There are a lot of people that think he's a good rapper.
This other guy fucking schooled him though. I can't remember his name, but he fucking destroyed him.
Was it Eminem?
Wasn't that Kanye?
No, it wasn't Kanye. Kanye's not that smart.
Eminem
no,
destroyed somebody in
oh,
the
recently.
Rap.
Kanye destroyed him.
Oh, Kanye did too?
Not in rap, just like they had like a
in
Twitter
life.
Battle or something.
In
yeah.
life, they fucking fought it out.
All right, so back to...
just went down a rabbit hole that three white dudes should probably never go down unless Michael Rapaport's in the room.
So
they
last,
get him on the show.
The last day that the family was seen was on surveillance footage from outside their home. This is interesting because the police found out, or the Latimer County Sheriff's Office had discovered that there was surveillance cameras in the couple's home. Why they had surveillance cameras, you know, in 2009 is beyond me, except for maybe something you'll hear later in a theory. But they were seen loading their pickup truck. It was noted that they would often stop and stare at nothing as if in a daze. They made 20 or more trips and never said anything to each other while loading the truck. Sherilyn's mother, Connie Cocatan, is of the belief that they were being watched, and also that there was a third unknown person in the video seen wearing a brown shirt. We do have access to some of the video, and hopefully Sarge can figure out how to post it in the blog.
Nope.
Hopefully Sarge can figure out by then.
I will tweet it. I'll be happy to tweet it for you.
Hopefully Sarge can figure out how to put it in the blog. The nope. pill there was a the pill bottle found, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but there was a pill bottle
you
found
did not
in the
mention
car
the pill bottle.
That belonged to someone the Jamesons had living in their house. This was confirmed after a little while. I do believe I mentioned this. They found the sheriff's office found a pill bottle with none of the family's names on it. It belonged to somebody that they were boarding in their house. It was later discovered that this man was driven away from the home at gunpoint after he made a statement that all non-whites should die.
You know what? He doesn't know who Drake is either.
Sherilyn, also known to be of Native American heritage, was the one who drove him away at gunpoint. He provided a solid alibi to the FBI and was cleared of any wrongdoing. Just to put that out there.
The white supremacist had a clean record?
He had a solid alibi. Is
oh,
what,
solid alibi,
what
I'm
said.
Sorry. He was probably...
cleared of any wrongdoing.
He was probably home cleaning his many guns while shouting the word small government into a small recorder.
So, theories, folks, here we go. I'm going to take you on a little ride. Unlike that man in the penis story who took someone on a very big ride.
Taking the beef bus to Tuna Town. Let's do it.
Theory number one, I'm going to spend very little time on this, but it's worth mentioning. There's involvement in drugs. This theory states that the family was out in the woods of Oklahoma to make a drug deal, apparently. So this would explain the $32,000 in cash they had in a knapsack. I can't state whether or not they were on drugs at this time. Israel Beecham, the Latimer County Sheriff, did, however, state that there is no evidence to
Did you
support.
Just say Israel Beecham?
Yeah, his name's...
It's like a fucking callback to the Salem Witch Trials episode.
Sure. I mean, it's either Beecham or Beauchamp. I've
he
seen
sounds
it.
Like an angry villager with a pitchfork.
It's either Beecham or Beauchamp. I've heard it pronounced both ways. So
he carried
sure.
a pitchfork at some point. Pointing up.
Definitely.
So he did state that there was no evidence the family had any involvement with any drugs, including methamphetamine. People do say that if you watch the surveillance video, they almost walk in a methodic, trance-like state because of the meth. I don't know what meth does to people, so I can't state.
Watch Breaking Bad, dude. It's a documentary.
I just watched the video, and it really just kind of looked like two people in the dark, but...
You watched the wrong video.
Oh.
So, hold on, though. So, what little I know about meth, and it's very little, it is possible to put you in a zombie-like state, like what you were saying. However, I think meth also gives you kind of a heightened attention span, so if you're in the middle of the task, I think you're kind of unlikely to stop. for long periods and just kind of stare off into the ether before you, you know, come.
Would you also
to...
be unlikely to, like, talk to anybody? Because they didn't...
That I don't know. I know very little about methamphetamine. We don't really have that problem in Massachusetts just yet. I think we're still dealing with opioids, so...
So anyway, it explains...
You want to know what a heroin addict is going to do? I got fucking stories for days, but as far as a meth addict, I'm not 100%.
So it would explain why the family... was out there with $32,000 in cash. One thing I did forget to mention, and I purposely left it out, was that there was a brown briefcase seen being loaded into the family's truck by Sherilyn. That brown briefcase was never recovered. So it's believed that there may have been two bags with money in it, and that bag went to somebody and it's never accounted for ever again. But we're... Mr. Beauchamp has decided that they're not drug addicts, nor are they drug users. And why do you bring your kid on a drug deal? I just... Can you... I mean,
you would
yes,
really be surprised at the
if
shit
you're buying
you hear.
$30,000 worth of drugs.
Yeah, I mean, that's
bringing,
probably fucking more of a reason
you're
to bring your kid
you're
because
you... out there? I don't know.
You're buying $30,000 worth of drugs to sell it. Your kid's not going to know what's in the fucking briefcases.
They were...
So they had $32,000?
$32,000 in a knapsack under the front seat.
Honestly,
car.
What that says to me more than anything is if it was a drug deal, they probably knew the drug dealer and felt comfortable enough to bring that kid with them.
Well, where did two people on disability get $32,000 in cash?
Interesting question that you ask. It is... unknown at any point in time how this family would have come across $32,000 in cash.
Unless, of course, they were selling drugs this entire time.
So we will get to this later on, but there were several lawsuits from a car accident that were filed by...
Well, that's where his back was injured, right?
Right. So there were...
That makes a little bit more sense. All right,
that all car right. accident actually had three lawsuits filed out of it, and there was a fourth lawsuit filed against his own father. You'll hear that in a different... theory. Someone I did see in one post somewhere that he had settled out of court and received a payday of over $60,000, which may explain that
$32,000.
Mm-hmm. I would figure if there was a settlement out of court, that would be traceable somewhere. They would have been able to trace back where that $32,000 came from. It's at this point unknown. Anywhere else that I've seen it, that this money came from anywhere else. But it's worth noting that there was a drug-related theory. It's also worth noting that they were characterized as good parents, and what good parents would bring their kid out and do something like that. So anyway...
So I would say this, hold on, before you continue on. Personally, based on what you're telling me right now, I don't necessarily believe the drug deal theory. I think it's more likely that these people are fucking wacko... what's the word I'm looking for? These idiots that fucking preppers.
Yeah, it's very possible.
That's why they had the fucking
cash
on them.
Very possible they were preppers. Although there was no sign of any of that type of stuff at their house, although they do have a storage container, so maybe. Family got lost in the woods and suffered from hypothermia, died from exposure. The days following their disappearance, there were extremely heavy rains. Where they were last seen, followed by a cold front, which dropped the weather in the temperature more than 25 degrees below normal and highs in the 40s. The rains alone wouldn't be heavy enough to cause their death. However, combined with the untimely cold weather, makes the theory plausible. The question that people keep asking, why leave the dog in the car if you're going on a hike in the woods? Why not just bring the dog with you? Especially when Madison never left the dog behind. I don't have any reason for this other than to say they left their coats, they left their dog, they left a purse and all their possessions other than a .22 caliber handgun.
I mean, to me, it kind of sounds like...
They planned on going back to the truck.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't plan on leaving it there forever.
Yeah. They thought they might be going back to the truck, even though there was foul play suspected at this point in time. But anyway, and the other thing to realize is these theories, some of them were developed shortly after they went missing. Some of them were developed after the bodies had been found. Murder-suicide. We all know that those stories happen where kids are caught in the crosshairs. You
I mean, you look at the Neil Entwistle story, for instance. He fucking killed his wife and his daughter and then didn't have the balls to fucking finish himself off.
Yeah, no shit, right? So, murder-suicide is well known that Bobby and Sherilyn had marital issues. Both of them suffered from depression. Sherilyn's was worsened by the death of her sister after a tragic bee-sting accident.
Bee-sting accident?
Yeah, I was...
Bee-sting.
Right.
I thought you said bee-sting like somebody was fucking a dog or something.
Oh. Okay.
That would be a tragic
I could see
accident.
How
just
that would
changes
be.
Things a lot. I would you know be, what I mean?
Well, and it was a bee-sting on her tongue, so...
Holy aww. Fuck. What is she, a dog? She was biting it?
My theory, because I didn't really look into it, because I didn't really care. This is a dead person, so I'm sorry, because it sounds kind of callous. But I'm assuming, like, you know, remember that time we were at our aunt's house and we had left a beer on the ground and the bee had actually climbed into the beer?
Why is a child drinking beer?
No, I'm just fucking around. This was the death of her sister.
Oh, gotcha.
So
yeah, if she had a straw or something, the
no,
thing
we were,
crawled
we
in
were,
there.
We were in my aunt's backyard.
Absolutely,
we were,
yeah.
we were playing catch with my older brother who was old enough to drink, but I wasn't. And he put his beer down for a second, and when he came back to it, there was like
16
easily
bees,
yeah, it looked like maybe so they literally swarmed the bottle and were inside the bottle. It was hornets too. It wasn't even fucking.
So I mean, yeah, it's plausible. Maybe she took a drink of a soda or something had a bee in it. Bee was like, "Fuck you,
right.
I'm gonna show you," and then kill myself. Bah! Murder suicide on the bee too. And
I
then,
bet it was a hornet because I don't think a honeybee would do that.
I mean, what is a tragic bee sting accident? I couldn't believe it when I read that, but it was like a tragic
well,
bee sting
accident. Well, tragic bee sting accident is if you're fucking allergic to bees and you get stung. It's fucking tragic. It's like when Macaulay Culkin died in, I can't even say it because it makes me cry, when Macaulay Culkin died in fucking...
Was it My Girl?
I need a minute. Okay, I'm back. We're good.
It was
fucking tragic, wasn't it?
He was really good in
Nobody fucking saw that coming.
He was really good in The Good Son.
What the fuck is wrong with him for throwing... Oh, man, it made me so mad.
That was a great movie, The Good Son. It was a great movie. Elijah Wood, Macaulay Culkin.
I don't remember.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, I do.
Yeah,
that was good.
Filmed
was
in
good.
The Boston area, I believe.
It was.
Anyway.
It was.
The 11-page hate-filled letter from Sherilyn to Bobby referred to him as a loner, a hermit, and claimed that she wanted a divorce. This, with the missing .22 caliber handgun, provided motive and a weapon for the murder-suicide. Sherilyn's friend Nikki Chenold, remember that name, folks, stated that Sherilyn.
Nikki Chenold,
yep. Sherilyn.
Already forgot it.
Used to write letters as a form of therapy and never intended for anyone else to read them. Connie Cokatin, we've heard that name before, Sherilyn's mother, stated that Bobby and Sherilyn were good parents and wouldn't let anything happen to Madison, let alone harm themselves. Connie, living with the family for a period of time, had intimate knowledge of how the family unit functioned. To disprove this, again, something we had talked about in production, they were found lying face down, side by side. Typically not how murder-suicides go. Usually you catch somebody off guard.
No, that's way too, like, neat.
Yeah, right.
For lack of a better term.
Right. So, we're gonna move right along to the next theory. That they were all murdered by Bobby's father, Bob Dean Jameson. So, Bob Dean.
Bobby Dean's got some, Billy
killed
Dean's
Bob
got some.
Bob Dale and Sherilyn Leanne.
He's got some beef.
Madison. He does have beef, actually.
Well, if you got beef, then eat a pork chop, as the great Coolio once said.
So, six months prior. Prior? Prior. That's before, right? Six months before the family filed a... 6 months before their disappearance, the family filed for a protection order from Bob after he had threatened to kill the family on two separate occasions. I'm going to go with motive.
You know how you know your family's not good?
Hey, could
when
you just
Grandpa
tip...
threatens to murder you.
Can you just tip that light down a little bit?
Yeah,
I'm getting...
sure, sorry.
Thank you, yeah.
Right. Ah, the light.
Right in the fucking...
My favorite new light.
Right in the fucking eyes.
Like. It's my Lego building light. I got a giant... Ghostbusters firehouse coming for Christmas. Not to side, you know, derail the fucking story, but you guys have no idea how fucking excited I am for this thing.
You also building a large Lego cock that might cause some problems for a particular person if it were to be used.
Yeah,
are you asking if I'm going to create a fucking Lego dildo?
I don't know
to
your life.
Fuck someone with?
I mean, I do, but I don't. Well, not to actually fuck someone with, but. As like a throwback to the story from earlier.
Oh, no. No, I mean, I'm so fucking white and Irish, I don't think I could even make something that would stretch a woman out.
All right, moving right along. He threatened to kill the family on two separate occasions, allegedly in November 2008 and also again in April 2009. Unfortunately, in the protection order, there were no specific threats given. Also, from that same protection order request, Bobby states his father hit him with his car on November 1st, 2008.
You know what, though? That's such bullshit. You know these fucking people, they make that shit up all the time. Like, he probably was trying to pull out of the driveway and this dickhead put his hand on the car and then he's like, oh, you fucking hit me, when it really just kind of grazed his finger.
Well, he also states that Bob was a dangerous man who felt he was above the law and involved with prostitutes, gangs, and meth.
I spoke too soon.
So, in the protective order request, Bobby stated that my entire family is severely scared for their lives. I live in fear at all times. However, the case was dismissed by a judge on May 18th, 2009. Bobby was also in the process of suing his father for unpaid wages after working at the family gas station. Sheriff Beecham described the couple as scammers after three other lawsuits had been filed in 2005 relating to that car accident we spoke of earlier. Bobby's uncle, Jack Jameson, described Bob Dale as disturbed at the time, but didn't think that Bob was involved in any of that.
Wow. This is a fucked up fucking situation. This whole family's a goddamn train wreck.
Bob Dean was interviewed by the police and proved to be a non-credible suspect and was cleared of any wrongdoings, although he shortly died thereafter in 2009, so he didn't make it much longer.
Oh.
So he's no longer a suspect because he's fucking dead.
Well, he's also dead.
So I'm sorry, when did he die in 2009?
It was like November, December. It was late 2009.
So he died. I mean, if he were to kill his family, he died right afterwards. Was it a sudden death or was he ill?
You know, I didn't look it up.
The only reason I asked, I think to myself, like, if I'm fucking super ill,
he was really like into meth and other stuff.
Who, Bobby Dean was into meth too?
Yeah, Bob Dean. That was the whole thing. He was involved in prostitutes, gangs, and meth.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the other.
Yeah, that's why I went with Bob instead of Bobby. It's like I separated.
It's so confusing.
Yeah, no shit, right? This is like a...
Stop naming your kids after yourself, you fucking dicks. How am I supposed to do a podcast when you do this kind of shit?
Not only that, but if you could stop giving, like, weird names, like Madison, Stormy Star, Sherilyn Leanne.
Madison's not a weird name. It's how they fucking spelled it.
Bobby, well, Stormy Star.
Stormy Star, whatever.
Why not name your kid Cinnamon and give her a stripper pole for her first birthday?
Frank Zappa named his kids weird shit, too. Dweezil, Moon Unit. I mean, come on.
I mean, his last name was Zappa.
I guess you're right.
Give the guy a break on that one.
Also, Moon Unit is the name of my space theme porn. It's underwhelming. There will not be an eclipse.
Couldn't imagine there would be.
It's barely a shadow.
Doesn't even have a dark side, does it?
Looks like somebody just pulled the eraser out of a pencil and put it on my stomach.
All right, so anyway. Theories 4 and 5, I've combined the two of them. Because they're really just one theory with two different... You'll hear. All right. Gentlemen, are we ready?
I've been ready my whole entire
life. This is where this story gets really fucking interesting and weird. Murdered by a cult.
You know, I mean, given the things that we've discussed in this podcast, most specifically meat showers and Venus glassing, it's not that weird.
So, Connie Cocatan, his name keeps coming up, Connie, poor Con, believes the family was killed by a cult. She believes the cult had a hit list and that Nikki Chenault, the friend of Sherilyn, claims to have received an anonymous call from a woman who was once part of a cult, a white supremacy cult. And she had seen that hit list. And she further claimed that after an episode of Disappeared on whatever channel that airs, she reached out to Nikki because she had researched several names that had come up in missing persons cases
Can anybody think of a cult that isn't just chock full of fucking white people? I can only think of like one, and I can't remember the name of it. I feel like cults are a big white people thing.
Yeah.
At least cults in America, like, you know, I'm sure.
And it's usually south of
wasn't
the
like
Mason
Will Smith
line.
Wasn't Will Smith a Scientologist though?
Yeah, but I mean, when you look at when you look at the fucking roster for Scientology, you don't have a lot of African American folks. Is all I'm saying. Not really a ton of Asians in Scientology, based on what you see when they show the fucking crowd at one of those weird events where the God King Tom Cruise comes out and jumps around like a happy fucking leprechaun.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Hold on. Let's go back to Scientology for just a second. I gotta say this, I gotta get it off my chest. Those motherfuckers are spreading lies about volcanoes. That's all I'm trying to say.
Sons of bitches.
Motherfuckers.
I don't know what you're talking about, but...
Volcanoes. They say that the Thetans fucking were in a volcano, and then they dropped a bomb in it, and then the Thetans fucking invaded our body, and then space Jesus came down. Those fucking dicks.
If I can go back to something you said just a second ago.
My head hurts.
Anytime someone says, I'd like to get something off my chest, I immediately think of Cleveland Steamer. So, you know, there's that.
Well, I mean, that's you have to get it off your chest. Otherwise, it's going to stain.
What have
Are
we
you
done?
Speaking from experience, or?
I mean, yeah. Dude, when you get to 36, you'll do anything for a laugh. Don't fucking judge me. Whatever blows your hair back, right?
So the white supremacy cult had a hit list, and on the hit list was Nicki Chenault.
And then coming in at number two was Katy Perry's Fireworks.
No, what believed to be on the shit list was Sherilyn Leanne, partially because she was a Native American.
I find it hard to believe that any white supremacist hit list is going to contain the name Sherilyn.
Well, when you consider that Sherilyn had Native American heritage and also held a gun.
But here's the thing about...
She held a guy at gunpoint, and he was a white supremacist. He hated non-whites.
That's fine, and that might be the reason, because she fucking held a gun to him. But white supremacists, especially modern white supremacists, do not have a thing against Native Americans. In fact, at one point, the leader of the Aryan Brotherhood was half Native American.
Okay, but this was like 2000.
What I'm saying modern, I mean, I saw this documentary in 2005 or 2006.
Was it five or six? That's a big jump.
In 1972, this guy took over leadership of the Aryan Brotherhood, is all I'm trying to say. They don't care about Native Americans. Their problems are Hispanic people, African Americans, and Jewish people predominantly, and then Asian people kind of to a point.
I mean...
The only reason I bring it up is because it's a big thing in the fucking white supremacist movement. They have a huge thing about Native Americans.
Regardless
they have no
of
problem
that,
with them.
Regardless of that, she held that guy at gunpoint. What?
I'm just saying predominantly they
right,
don't
well,
care about
so,
it. I'm sure there's outliers, but for the most part, Native Americans are kind of, they get a pass.
All right, well, I mean, so be it. But she's still pissed in that white supremacist Cheerios. So
yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's why I'm saying that's probably the reason.
Anyway,
it's not because she's Native American.
This woman, this anonymous woman who called Nicki Chenault, further claimed that she had researched local missing persons and local strange deaths, and they had matched names in the list that she had seen. In 1993... A local paper had reported cults popping up in southeastern Oklahoma, but a U.S. Marshal was quoted as saying there hasn't been any activity in a few years. So this brings me to theory number five, which I've condensed into theory number four because why not? Apparently the Jamesons were also known as being into the occult. So a religious cult was fucking with them. But anyway... They had even owned a satanic Bible at one point. Nicki Chenault stated that she was there when Sherilyn bought it as a joke, but the two were also believed to be into witchcraft together.
Can I step in here for another second?
Oh, God, go ahead if you have
Okay,
to.
So white supremacist movements, far more, especially in the last 20 years, far more accepting of pagan mythology and far more accepting of naturalist movements. In fact, the Nazis were believed to be very deeply into the occult. Having said that, the Satanic Bible is not in any way any sort of book dedicated towards Satan. The Satanic Bible is actually just something Anton LaVey came up with for the Church of Satan. And again, that is a lot of white supremacy movements have adopted the Satanic Bible as part of the ethos, especially because there is one line in there that basically says, like, we want to be able to do whatever we want, and if you do anything to us, we have license to harm you.
So I say Satanic Bible because it was I'll get to that. I've seen it in several different spots as a witchcraft Bible, and I've also seen it as a Satanic Bible. The only time I've ever seen it referred to as a Satanic Bible is when Bobby once confessed to his pastor that he read the Bible at one point in time. But it was believed that Nikki Chenault and what's-her-name, Sherilyn, were into witchcraft together. Graffiti found on the storage container that's on the family's existing property was actually said to have read three cats killed to date by people in the area. Witches don't like when their cats get killed.
All right, I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to pause you right here. We're going to go to a break real quick because we're starting
to run over on
time. I'm
literally, like, one thing left.
Okay, go ahead.
The Jamesons also claimed at one point that there were ghosts in the home. According to them, there were four of them living on the roof. Bobby had once asked the pastor if there were any special bullets that he could buy to kill
ghosts. Now, when you
ghosts.
Say the Jamesons, are you talking about, like, did the wife and husband go to the pastor and
they
say
this?
They
both believed that there were ghosts living in the house, and Bobby went to the pastor asking if there were special bullets he could buy to kill spirits or ghosts.
So they were together on this one, that there were ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Four of them living on the roof.
Okay.
So, but that's, I guess that's what I'm more concerned about, because that's the crazy part. People believe that their houses are haunted all the time. Both of these grown-ass adults believe that there were ghosts living on their roof?
Yeah, and
like
in the
fucking
house.
Spectral Snoopies?
Ghosts. And he wanted special bullets to kill them. I'm not
but,
even...
But I'm saying on the roof. You're saying that they were...
On the roof and in the house.
Jesus fucking Christ, that's weird.
Right. Maybe one of them was cheating with the ghost.
Getting that good ghost stick.
Or maybe they were just leaving steamers on top of the roof. And they're like, and, oh, how did this fucking poop get here? It must have been a ghost.
I can't see it, but it smells.
Ectoplasm.
Yeah.
Just
all right.
Covered in fucking ectoplasm.
So at this point, I would say let's kick it to a break.
Yeah, let's go to a break, and then we'll come back and we'll do maintenance theory.
I'll leave a couple of little tidbits that I found.
Some tidbits, and then we'll go to maintenance theory.
All right,
I like it. Let's do it. This episode has been brought to you by www.thebrandedsports.com. Go to brandedsports.com. Check out all the stuff they got. They're a pretty fucking awesome website because they're sponsoring this fucking podcast. I apologize for all the swears, but if you're from New England, you'll understand. Thank you, and have a wonderful fucking evening. Before we get too deep into the episode, I just want to tell you guys...
Too deep? We're fucking an hour into the episode.
Please go. Please go on Twitter to at Justin Rex Spress and just tell him how big his boobs are, because he thinks he's the most gorgeous thing in the world, and he's got giant man boobs for a guy who works out so much. I'm pretty sure he's on some kind of cycle that is adding to the girth of his breasts without adding muscle.
Is
he, maybe
he is
took
he on,
estrogen instead.
Right.
At JustinRexPress.
Like express with an R in front of it.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
He's got just big boobs for a dude lifting weights.
I don't...
They're floppy.
I mean, I've got big boobs for a fat guy, so...
I kind of just want to slap him around. I do, too, but I don't work out, you know what I mean? Like, this guy lifts weights and shit.
All right.
Steroids, hormones, all that
stuff. I'm pretty sure he's got the bloat.
You know, people at this point have already checked out of this episode. We were an hour into this. They're gonna miss your Justin Rexpress.
Moist. Continue.
There's nothing wrong with the word moist.
There is a lot wrong with it because the
word
sounds disgusting.
Moist is not disgusting.
It's a disgusting word.
It is not.
Look, Twitter followers, make sure you reach out to CG Super Jordan and let him know why the word moist is fucking disgusting.
I just want to know what the word moist did to you, people. It just let me know. Just,
all right, well, how about this? Do you want moist in your pants? No one else does either. That's why it's a bad word.
It depends on the reason the moist is in my pants. I mean, I'm not sopping in the pants.
There's never a time where I want the inside of my pants to be moist.
It really depends on what, I mean, it depends.
So you're totally okay with coming in your pants?
I'm not mean not coming in it, but if I got, you know, like moist in there for other reasons, then sure, why not?
Are your pants that big that another person, preferably a woman, can get inside your pants?
If the woman's on the outside of the pants and the pants become moist.
Why didn't you take your fucking pants off when she started going at you?
Listen, sometimes when you're in public.
I don't understand.
Sometimes when you're in public,
there's always time to pull down your pants.
You can't always drop your pants in public. You cannot.
But that's on the outside. It's not on the inside.
Right, so then your pants get moist.
Yeah, that's just
on the outside,
slash.
Though, not on the inside.
So you're saying moist specifically in
you
the
don't
pants.
Want to be moist by yourself is what I'm trying to say.
No, never by yourself.
Well, that's what I'm trying to fucking say, though. It's the whole fucking time.
But all right,
we're getting away from the episode. Let's get back in it.
That's what she
my
said.
Mistake. Oh. Wait. If she's saying let's get back in it, I don't know that I want to hang out with her.
I mean, all
depends
right.
Depends on what your definition of it is, I guess. If it's my beehole, no. You can't get in there. I've successfully thwarted a number of doctors. You're not getting your shot.
I'm just putting this out there, but I was at that Secret Santa, the Yankee swap that we did. I know what you ended up with as a gift.
Fuck yourself. It was only because our sister took... You know what? Let's continue with the episode.
All right.
Suffice it to say, it disturbed me a lot to see my sister wearing a ball gag, and I did have to describe it to a psychiatrist later on.
Well, someone in your house is pooping a Buick, so... all right. Just a few bits of information to add to the mysteriousness of this story. It is never reported the skulls were found broken or fucked up in any way, excluding or ruling out the possible execution-style murder that would have the three people lined up side by side. And
where did they find the skulls again?
With the remainder of whatever bones were there.
So they were there, okay.
Yeah, they were at the site of the remains. The bones were there.
I was just making sure it wasn't somewhere else.
No.
Well,
and
only because you described them differently, so I was just making sure.
Yeah, no, so even in a Russian-style hit, like, you know, like the professional hits where they shoot you behind the ear with a .22.
It's not just the Russians. The Italians do that shit,
you know,
too.
Whatever. So whatever, a hit style like that. But
and the Irish shoot you with a
potato gun.
Typically,
if you're
going
to shoot somebody and you've lined them up execution style, you're not doing it, like, close range like that. Anyway, you figure there would be more skull damage. They found skulls intact. So there's that. The Israel Beauchamp.
That dude.
Beauchamp. The sheriff was so bothered by the fact that he couldn't solve who murdered 6-year-old Madison that he actually left the country. He retired from law enforcement and left the country. This murder stuck with him so bad. It really ate him up, and he no longer talks about any interviews or any of his law enforcement background. Additionally, the family's pastor moved out of Oklahoma, and he doesn't talk about the anything anymore. He does no longer does interviews. He's very uncomfortable with being unable to help the family with whatever issues they were having. I feel like there's more to that story, but he's moved out of the state. No longer talks about the family. And an
Do we
interesting.
Know if he was a pastor from like a normal church, or was he one of those fucking cult churches?
I don't know, but
were they like dancing around with snakes and shit?
At one point, there
people?
Was a confession of
don't knock
reading
dancing
that
with snakes.
Okay.
There continue. Was a confession of reading that Bible. So I'm wondering if it was maybe a Catholic priest instead of a pastor, but regardless.
Oh, okay. Because
they did confession.
No, I see what you're saying. So, but I think certain kinds of Protestant churches do confession as well.
I
call
not
that, the one we have the privilege of growing up in.
I call bullshit. That's
stupid. Because we were in the country club of fucking Protestant religions. Congregationalists, they know how to sleep during church.
and have big social hours afterwards. So the final interesting tidbit I...
come in fellowship with us, because they apparently think that word's a verb.
Come in fellowship.
Come fellowship.
Is that like what aliens do?
Fellowship they come in the fellowship. Rings. I don't know.
Anyway, Connie Kokotan had an interesting story at one point. She, at one point, had talked about her daughter's erratic behavior. Being bipolar, I would and known to be off of her medication, I am not surprised. But there was one day she drove her mother miles and miles into Oklahoma City and then stopped the car abruptly, looked at her mother, said, get out, and drove off, leaving her on the side of the road. I find that interesting because that speaks to erratic behavior and what, you know, if she's in a manic state, throwing elbows and shooting people and murder-suicide seems more plausible. I will say that the last photo of Madison at the Rocks has her in a t-shirt and I think jeans, but the family states that doesn't look like Madison. She's normally a very happy child, and this looks like she was there against her will, unhappy, arms crossed, blah, blah, blah. Other people state that that's just could have been a kid being bratty and
how old was this girl again?
6 years old.
Okay.
And the last picture is actually the one that you see mostly in photos of Madison. And it's her in front of big rocks with her arms crossed and this tiny little t-shirt on. She's got her little belly showing. But anyway, so that was the last little tidbits that I had that I just thought were worth mentioning. Maynard, you got some time here. What's your theory on all this stuff now that you've heard everything?
Oh, geez. This whole thing seems to me like they're very much doing this, whatever they were doing, against their will.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think like based on the evidence,
very much, and you'd hit it right with what you just said. It feels to me like they were being, and I don't know what was controlling them, but something was controlling them. They're reporting ghosts on their roof. They're, like you just said, their daughter's looking like she's just having her picture taken against her will. They're bringing money out. You know, they're acting weird in this video. They're bringing money out. They were going to bring money out into the woods. Which could have been a drug deal. I think some of it could go back to the father, too. The father seems pretty sketchy. Maybe he was forcing them to do something that they didn't want to do. I don't know. But this all seems very much like this family was doing something that they didn't want to do when they were killed.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fair to say, and it's unfortunate.
Whether it was a drug deal, whatever it was, everybody's saying how good people they were and they wouldn't bring their kid out there. Well, you bring your kid out there when you're being forced to do it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that
leaving the
is
dog...
a surprisingly collected argument for me.
It's shockingly so. This is two in a row now that he's had cogent thoughts.
A good theory.
Yeah. And
continue. What do you got, man? Oh, hold on. Let's not cut him off. I don't want to ruin his train of thought.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I have much more beyond that because, I mean, granted, it's an unsolved mystery, and that's a lot of what we talk about on this show. But, you know, the fact that they had all this money, which seems really odd.
And the missing brown satchel that
with
unknown contents at this point.
Right. Does this just... does this seem like something this family would normally do? No. And that's why the whole thing's really weird and unsolved. And the fact that you just said the sheriff was all upset that he couldn't solve the thing, and then the priest that they always, or the pastor that they always talk to, he just disappears. Like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Nobody really wants to own up to it either. So doesn't that seem kind of bizarre to you guys? The father seemed to have a lot of influence in this town. Did he have anything?
I mean, what seems weird to me is
that he died like
shortly,
not even 2 months after they went missing.
What seems weird to me is not necessarily the preacher running away and not wanting to talk about it because, I mean, frankly, He's probably just sick of talking about it because he knew the family so well. And as a minister, I mean, Jordan and I can attest, in the church we grew up with, I mean, we're still here from our first minister. He still talks to my parents. Here we are. I mean, he's been gone for how long? He's been out of the church?
Oh, years. Years.
He's preaching out in North Dakota, and he still reaches out to us.
Well, I'm not necessarily...
So for him, I guess what I'm trying to say is that the minister maybe just, you know, or the pastor or whatever they call him in their church, might just not want to talk about the fact that a family that he...
counseled maybe,
yeah,
or whatever, you know.
But what's weird for me is the cop took off.
Yeah, he was just, well, he
That's
retired.
Strange, right?
He retired from law enforcement.
But he doesn't want to fucking talk about this particular case? How many other horrible cases has come across where he's seen, like, blood and guts and shit? I mean, like, all he found was skeletal fucking remains.
Yeah, but it's the pure and simple fact that there is nothing. He found no evidence of any foul play. I mean, you literally had nothing to go on with this case. This is why this case is so interesting.
The exception to the rule, but let me talk quickly about the Golden State Killer. The detectives that worked on the Golden State rapist / killer, serial killer case, are still active in the case, even though they're retired. You always want to catch the one that gets away. And to me, it just seems a little strange that the fucking police officer in charge of the case is like, no, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, he was elected a sheriff, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a...
But there's no, like... The thing about this case is that, like, it's not like he found... It wasn't a particularly horrifying case, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Yes, it's terrible that a fucking child died. Of course it is. It's disgusting and awful. And that should never happen to anyone. But it's not like he found her body. They found a skeletal remains. It's not even like, you know, you don't see all the horrible things that happen with fucking decomposition. I just don't particularly understand why the sheriff is like, no, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just it's something that eats you up. When you consider that he followed in this family's footsteps, their last footsteps, he followed them, and, you know, you imagine, okay, so maybe they were murdered. Maybe they were killed someplace and then dragged the 2.7 miles away from the truck, you know? I mean, that's a possibility, and they were laid side by side, face down.
Somebody murdered them.
Yeah, I would flat out say they did not die of natural causes. There was a murder there, and, you know, at this point, you know, the thing that eats me up, pardon the pun, is that the search party never came across the bodies, only 2.7 miles away from the car, but that all these, you know, all the evidence was eaten away by rodents and animals, and so you literally have no evidence to go on.
So I somewhat agree with you, and my biggest concern with this whole situation is when they found the bones, there was no evidence of gunshot wounds.
Yeah.
And so the reason I say that is, yes, it's possible that if you shoot someone, you're not going to see a bullet wound on their corpse 4 years later because the bullet passed through soft tissue and not their bones. But three people?
Yeah.
Three people? You didn't find a bullet wound and you didn't find any bullet damage in any of their fucking rib cages?
Well, I don't want
to
get...
So what that leads me to believe, and the reason I mentioned, I'm sorry to cut you off, but the reason that leads me to believe is this was a much more personal killing. This was their throats being slashed.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, is maybe their throats were slashed versus them being shot.
Yeah, and 4 years later, you're not going to find blood on the on the ground. You know, 4 years later, they've now gone back into the cycle of... the earth, right? You know, nitrogen and whatever. I don't know. I just think it's just kind of crazy. I mean, you know, like I said, they could have been dragged the 2.7 miles and placed side by side face down. I don't know. Maybe the killer...
I mean, yeah, you could be on
something.
Maybe
the killer didn't want to see their faces. And
maybe they were strangled.
That's why you say it was personal. Yeah.
I mean, could have been strangled, but that's still strangling somebody versus shooting
people.
Somebody. Well, but so we talked about the guy with the penis who had the fucking thing nailed to him. He was handcuffed, right?
Yeah.
So any sort of wound you're going to get from a handcuff is going to be tissue damage, not bone damage. So maybe
I can't believe
all these
you
people,
brought that back to the penis
well,
guy.
Think about it, though. Think about it. So if these people are tied up, which is what the BTK killer used to do. He used to tie people up. And then he would put a T-shirt over their heads, and then he would put a plastic bag over their heads. And the reason he would do that is so that they couldn't bite through the plastic bag. The T-shirt would stop them. It would blunt their teeth enough that they couldn't get through the bag. So it's possible that they fucking tied these people to a chair, maybe put a T-shirt and a bag or just a bag over the heads of these three individuals, and they suffocated to death. And then there wouldn't be any fucking bone damage. Or it's possible that these people would just, they had, you know, like we talked about before, they just had their throat slashed and they were tied up. And then the killer took the rope with him because he didn't want to leave any evidence. I mean, this was in 2009. So it's
rope
not
could deteriorate
like,
in the 4 years anyway.
It's possible.
You know,
yeah, exactly. So, you're right. You're right there, too.
The thing that really fucking.
Or they even use their clothes to tie them up.
The thing that really irks me, the biggest, and this will be one of the last things I say, is they never find the car keys to the truck. The guy or person who kills them never ransacks anything out of the truck. They leave the dog behind. And the dog survived, by the way, anybody who's still listening at this point. The dog made a full recovery and was staying with Connie Cocotan, Sherilyn's mother. But this was not about a robbery. This was, and you know, if this was a killing and you've got $30,000 sitting in your truck, don't you offer that up? You know, hey, listen, you let us live, and I'll give you $30,000. It's in my truck. I'll give it to you.
But then you also get to the possibility that whoever killed these people didn't want the money to begin with. You come to the possibility that whoever killed these people might have been a serial killer.
Very possible. You know, somebody who put that plot of land up for sale, knowing that they could attract people who may not, who you know, were looking to get off the grid, whatever, people who are trying to...
Or it was insanely bad timing, and the person who killed them had no idea that there was ever any money in the truck whatsoever.
But so the reason I mention it is that your average killer might take the money with him, whereas a serial killer wouldn't care about the money.
Sure. Well, because a careful serial killer would know that money could be traced.
Exactly.
To them.
But not even that. When you look at the story of Leonard Lake and Charles Eng, they killed a family. And
your knowledge of murderers is just
astounding.
Yeah,
I only watch Dexter. That's my frame of reference for everything.
So, okay.
I'm gonna go ahead.
So
you're not,
Leonard
your
Lake,
knowledge of murderers, white supremacists.
Listen, I like true crime.
I'm gonna leave.
So Leonard Lake and Charles Eng, they killed a couple of families. And there was one family they didn't take anything from. They just fucking killed these people, and they took their IDs and pretended to be them, but they didn't take any money. The point I'm trying to make is, if this is a serial killer, they're not looking for money. And then when you look a little bit further, people like, fuck, I can't even get into it. They were the Craigslist killers out in the Midwest somewhere. They put out a thing saying, hey, you can live in our land for free as long as you tend the land. They would take these single men with no families, drive them out to the fucking land. They would kill them, strip their bodies, take whatever they had in money and all that stuff, and then and leave them there. So it's possible that if you're a serial killer and you're just looking to kill people for thrills, you don't give a fuck about the money. Which is why it's so interesting to me that this mountain man is not considered a suspect. Because it's not entirely impossible that he killed them for thrills. And how many other bodies might you find on that mountain?
It's true.
So on that super fucking happy note, that is the end of episode 6.
Nope.
Episode 7.
Nope.
8.
Yeah.
Episode something. Thank you all for listening. Happy New Year. This
hey, Happy New Year.
Drop.
Well,
after the New Year.
Well into the
now
new
that
year.
I think about it. But Happy New Year, and on the behalf of the CGS podcast family, including my long-suffering family, wife and children. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of our show. We're certainly thankful for
Thank
you this
you
new year.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Oh, and
travel
sad
down
news,
the road
Penny Marshall died
again.
Today, guys.
Penny Marshall died today.
No,
you know what?
Not today.
That's going to be literally almost a month away before.
Well,
before
I mean, it's December
18th.
I'm just putting
that's
it out
true.
There that they don't
that's
know
true.
When we're recording, so this could all be edited
you
out.
You just said
they
December 18th.
They do now.
So now they know. And Maynard's not going to edit that.
What if I edit it? I'll edit it right out. Fuck that shit. Fuck the Yeti. It's never the Yeti.
It's never the Yeti. That's going to be the new t-shirt. So one more final thing before we get out of here. I just want to say if you're interested in giving us t-shirt ideas, we're looking for some ideas. Shoot us an email on the Citizens Guide Podcast at gmail.com. That's Citizens Guide Podcast at gmail.com. Give us some t-shirt ideas.
C_G Supernormal.
You can message the Twitter thing. Message any one of us on Twitter. We'll fucking take your message. We're not too cool for you. All right. Thank you for listening to the show. Have an awesome night. Happy fucking New Year. And hopefully the president's impeached by the time we're done.
That'd be cool.
It's possible. Not impeached, but maybe, like, you know, he just steps down.
Hopefully you also get stretched by a big dick, if that's what you're looking for.
And don't get stretched by any giant dicks. Put it in your beehole. From what I understand, it's more resilient.
Yikes.
The Citizen's Guide to the Supernormal.